What about the choice of endocrine partner? You know, there are a bunch of clinical scenarios where CDK inhibitors are used in metastatic disease, at least the way I think about it. You have some people presenting with de novo. You have other people like your patient who presents while they're on hormonal therapy adjuvant. And then you have others who present afterwards, and it might be right afterwards or a long time afterwards. How do you look at those scenarios and decide what the endocrine partner is going to be?
You know, the data that we saw from MONALEESA 3, where in the first line setting, some of the patients got fulvestrant plus minus ribociclib, and some of the patients got letrozole plus minus ribociclib, they looked similar, Neil, in terms of the magnitude of benefit. There wasn't, as I recall in my mind, there wasn't a real, oh, wow, you know, the fulvestrant is much better. You know, that's the answer. We got to give everybody first-line fulvestrant plus a CDK4/6 inhibitor. They looked similar. So basically, Neil, I've been following the clinical trial eligibility criteria with the possible exception that if a woman has had adjuvant AI and she's been off of it for less than 2 years, let's say she completed 5 years, has been off of it for less than 2 years, I kind of go with fulvestrant with a CDK first line. The clinical trials say they had to be off of the adjuvant AI at least a year, but that's kind of short. If somebody has only been off of it, you know, a year and a half, I'm not as confident that she'll definitely benefit from reintroducing the AI because she hasn't been off of it very long. So I will go with fulvestrant in that situation. But if she's been off of the AI a long time, more than 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, I'll certainly go back to an AI with a CDK4/6.
I'm just kind of curious. You're a very practical person. How important is it for you to assess adherence either in hormonal therapy or CDK therapy? And how, you know, critical or non-critical is it of an issue?
So in the metastatic setting, it's much, much less of an issue than it is in the curative setting. However, some patients do get confused and they have some cognitive issues. Some of our patients, middle-aged or older-aged patients, and sometimes adherence is, you know, they're trying, but they get confused, basically. I've had patients take wrong doses of things, particularly before abemaciclib. When we were using the 50 milligram pills, we also had the 150s. I'm so glad that we, you know, basically are using the 150 pills now. But there is room for confusion there. And occasionally, some patients, and it's a small minority, but I do have some patients who get a little creative with their medications. They're folks that don't like medications in general. You know what I mean? I have some of those patients, a very small percent. They've got metastatic disease, but it's usually small volume. They've lived with it a long time. They like to go the natural approach, you know? And so they'll take it, but they won't take it as prescribed, basically. So it is important. You actually have to ask. It's now a habit for me. I ask everybody, are you taking it every day? When I see somebody back when they're early stage breast cancer, I say, are you taking your tamoxifen every day? Are you taking your anastrozole every day? I say that all the time to everybody. And you know, I ask everybody when I see them back on their CDK4/6, where are you in your cycle? Now, you know, we obviously know what cycle they're on, but where exactly are you in the cycle? You know, and I want them to know the answer to that like that. You know what I mean? I want them to be right on top of that. You almost always are.
That's interesting. One other question. How do you approach the patient who has progressive disease on endocrine therapy, a CDK inhibitor? And right now, where does everolimus fit into your practice?
So what I do, Neil, is almost everybody benefits from CDK4/6 inhibitors. And when their disease progresses, if they have non-liver metastasis, so more ER-driven sites of disease, bone, lung, lymph node, chest wall, I will treat the patient with everolimus. If I know that the patient has a ESR1 mutation, I will use fulvestrant and everolimus. If she doesn't have a ESR1 mutation, I will use exemestane and everolimus. However, if she has liver metastasis, I have not had success with everolimus following a CDK4/6 inhibitor, so I utilize capecitabine for women who either had liver metastasis to start off with or who developed liver metastasis upon progression on CDK4/6. I'll use capecitabine.